Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here. Hope that you're having a great morning and a great start to your week. We had a wonderful interview yesterday with a man that I greatly admire, Dr. Erwin Lutzer, and his new book, The Eclipse of God. I encourage you to pick up a copy of that book, and especially for you pastors, to get a copy of that book and go over it with your staff. What we do at First Baptist Texarkana, we have staff meeting every Wednesday morning, and we go through a book together. We just read a chapter or two, depending on how long the book is, and we discuss that. And so we're all kind of on the same page, so to speak, discussing issues. Sometimes we do a book that maybe we don't agree with, but most of the time we're going to do a book that's going to be solid, that's going to be like the sons of Issachar, understanding the times and what Israel should do. And the Eclipse of God is very, very on point, and it's very up to date with what's going on right now in our world, and especially in America. And I think it'll be a great, great blessing. Well, I was thinking about what we should talk about today on the program. And as I was thinking through that, praying through that, the topic came to my mind, and that is the fact that leadership matters. Leadership matters. The famous statement by leadership guru John Maxwell says this: everything rises and falls on leadership. If you have poor leadership in any endeavor in life, you have a football coach that's a poor leader, that team is not going to do well. If you have a guy running a small business and he has no business running a business, he is not a leader. He can't lead anybody. He doesn't know how to hire correctly. He doesn't know how to market correctly. That business is not going to do well. Now, when you start expanding that, okay, you're not the leader, the president of a small business. You're the leader or president of a large business. If you don't know what you're doing, you're not going to lead well, to say the least. We have examples in Scripture of good leaders and bad leaders. The first king of Israel, King Saul, bad leader. He was terrible. He was paranoid. He was selfish and self-centered. He was very concerned about what the people thought about him rather than what God thought about him. Well, the Lord disowned him, so to speak. Not disowned him, but said, "Okay, Saul, you're done." He was king for 40 years. "You're done, and David is going to take your place." David was a man after God's own heart. David was a great leader. David was tough, and David was tender. David was bold and courageous, and he was the guy, just as a kid, 14, 15 years old, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, when he went to check on his brothers at the battle as Israel was fighting the Philistines, he heard Goliath, the giant from Gath, the champion of the Philistines, utter these words: "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And the Bible says he'd been doing that for 40 days and 40 nights, but the Bible says that David heard these words, and David said, "Hey, how long is the line to fight this guy?" Well, Israel was afraid to fight him. He's 9 feet 9 inches tall. Every time he came up to call them out for a fight, they ran to their tents. Even King Saul was shaken in his boots. And David said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? You guys are believing that we're the armies of Israel, but we're not. We are the armies of the living God. And I will go fight him." And as we know the story, David did go fight him. David stood on the battlefield with boldness. He might have had a little fear in his heart when he really saw that guy straight on. But he went out there. He risked his life. He was a great leader because he had a great heart for God, because he was able to discern good and evil, and because he was willing to step out in faith. Now, when Moses died, that was a huge blow. He had led the people for 40 years, and they mourned Moses' death. Now, as we've talked about on this program, very interesting little tidbit about Moses. Moses died not because he got old and died. He died because he couldn't go any further with the Lord's plan for his people. He had sinned against the Lord. He struck the rock twice when the Lord specifically told him, "You speak to the rock." We struck the rock to get water out of the rock the first time. That was what you were supposed to do. That's a picture. The rock was a picture of Christ. He was wounded and struck once on the cross. And the second time, you just speak to the rock because of that illustration. The rock is Christ. He's crucified once, never to be crucified again. And then you speak to the rock. But Moses was angry. And shall we give you water out of the rock, you rebels? And he struck the rock twice. And the Lord said to him, "Listen, Moses," he was very angry with Moses for doing that, "you failed to hold me as honored and holy before the people. And you did not do that. And you disobeyed me in front of the people. And because of that, you're not going to get to go into the promised land." And God graciously allowed Moses from Mount Nebo to see the promised land, but he wasn't able to enter into it. And so Moses, he died at the age of 120, and his strength was not abated, nor his eye dim. He had committed the sin unto death. God killed Moses and buried him. No man knows where his grave is because God buried him. And it says in the book of Jude, Satan disputed with the archangel Michael about the body of Moses, and the Lord buried Moses. But here's the point. So Moses is dead, and God comes to Joshua and he says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel." You're the new leader, Joshua. And Joshua was nervous and scared, no doubt, following Moses. Moses is the guy that spoke to God face to face, and Moses's face would shine, would glow as the Shekinah glory of God was on his face. I mean, you follow that guy? That's a tough, those are big shoes to fill, no doubt. And so he was scared, he was nervous, and the Lord tells him, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous." Three times he tells them that in just four verses. So that is key. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, to be a good leader, you have to have boldness. You have to be strong and courageous and strong in the right things. That's why God told Joshua, "Listen, you need to immerse yourself in the law." This book of the law, the first five books that God had Moses write by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." David was successful as king because he was a man after God's own heart. He listened to the Lord. He prayed. He sought the Lord. He wrote so many of the Psalms. I love Psalm 8. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, or the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God. You have crowned him with glory and honor. I used to think about that when I was at the University of Texas, and I'd be walking back at night from the library to my dorm, the Castilian dorm, there on campus or right off of campus, off of 24th Street. And I would look up at the sky and I would think, you know, God, you are so great. What am I that you take thought of me? What am I that you would care for me? You're the God who spoke all this into existence. And so, you know, David, as a shepherd, he would spend much time out in the fields, and he would be looking up, and he would be singing to the Lord and fellowshipping with the Lord and praying to the Lord. And that is critical. That's what God told Joshua. And hey, you pastors listening to me, you and I, it's easy to get distracted from our alone time with God. There is the phrase that is so true, the tyranny of the urgent. And as a pastor, we can have things, people calling us, you have to go see this person, you have to go do this, do that, do the other, and your day can get so filled with things to do that you miss out on the main thing. And the main thing is what we see in Luke chapter 10, as Mary was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. Many of us are familiar with the illustration of the jar and the big rocks and the pebbles. If you fill the jar with pebbles, there's no room for the big rocks. You have to put in the big rocks first. And as a leader, especially as a pastor, you have to do the things that only you can do, that God has given you to do, and you have to focus in on the main things, and then the other things fill in once you have the big rocks in the jar. Because if you do the little things that other people can do, and you're unwilling to delegate, well, there's not going to be room for the big rock. So you ask yourself, well, what has God given me to do that only I can do? Now, when I was in seminary, my preaching professor, Dr. Wayne McDill, who's a dear, dear friend and made such an impact in my life and my preaching, he said to our class one day, he said, guys, the most important thing you do when you're a pastor is to preach the word of God, because that is going to minister to the biggest group of people at your church. He said, you can get a lot of attaboys by being there for the sick and the infirmed and at the funerals, and those things are important. But some guys just live off of that, and they don't spend the time they need to prepare the meal. The message, the Bible says that the word of God is, it's our milk, it's our meat, it's our bread, it's honey. And if you don't spend the time to prepare the meal, a hot and freshly prepared meal for the congregation, you're missing out on the main thing. And as Jesus told Peter, hey, feed my lambs, tend my lambs, shepherd my sheep, feed, tend my sheep. And that's so critical to feed God's people and to train them up, raise them up on the word of God so that they're not blown about by every wind of doctrine, by deceitfulness in scheming from the enemy who wants to steal and kill and destroy. The devil is a liar and the father of lies, and he's a master liar. His lies sound so much like the truth. And we have lots of guys, as Erwin Lutzer pointed out yesterday, lots of guys that have bought into this woke theology and the spirit of the age, the prince of the power of the air, as he pushes our culture more and more to sinfulness and to things that sound good. Loving your neighbor, this is how you love your neighbor, you use their preferred pronouns, and all this stuff that people buy into, those lies. You don't do that. You speak the truth in love. Real love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 6. Leadership matters. Hey, as we get ready to go to the polls, remember that. Leadership matters. And between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump, you ask yourself the question, which one of those two people is the better leader? Who has the resume that says, I have led things successfully? Well, that's pretty obvious. Donald Trump was president. He did lead 2017, and he did a good job. Kamala Harris has never led anything. And so we need to watch and learn and listen and make a wise decision. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about the subject leadership matters. Now, I ran across a post that Ben Shapiro made not too long ago, and either it was this morning or last night, but he said this: the biggest scandal in modern American history is playing out in front of us. The current president is completely brain dead. So why doesn't anyone care? Because if the media were to acknowledge that, Kamala would have a duty to oust him, and then she'd be responsible for this administration, and then she'd lose. Well, I think that's an astute observation. So you ask yourself the question, as it relates to leadership, how important is it to have a president who's on the ball, who knows what's going on, who is able to discern between good and evil, who's able to protect the masses when it comes to law and order? Those things are really, really critical for you and your family. If there is total anarchy, as it says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, verse 20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. How do you and I live? And how does anyone live in an upside-down world where criminals are considered the victims and victims are considered the criminals? It is insane. I ran across this quote or this little interview, Tucker Carlson and Charlie Kirk. They were having a conversation recently, and Tucker was making the statement of how our leaders treat the American people. It's just shameful how they treat the masses. Here's Tucker Carlson and Charlie Kirk.
I've never seen any population treated the way Americans are being treated by their leaders now. And I'm very worried that at some point people will be like, I'm not putting up with this. I don't know why anybody pays taxes in this country. For the record, I'm not counseling not pay your taxes because I don't want to get arrested. But I just don't understand the consent level in this country is still incredibly high. Maybe we're just like moving through the motions or something. All the good people are the people they lecture and call names. And because they are good people, they're dutiful people, and they just do what they think they're supposed to do. But I don't know why they're doing it. Why would you send a dollar to people who laugh over your death? Your nephew dies of fentanyl and they don't care, and you're still sending them money? I don't get that, honestly.
The answer, though, Tucker, is because they've done a successful pattern of show trials.
And, oh, I know.
And no, this is a real thing. Why do I still pay taxes and you? Obviously, because we have friends in federal prison. Like Steve Bannon right now is in federal prison.
Oh, I know.
For not committing a crime. They do this, by the way, to chill the population, to remind you that your door could get knocked on next.
So that was Tucker Carlson talking to Charlie Kirk and talking about the leadership we do have in America. It's not coming from Joe Biden. It's obvious he doesn't know where he is. And Ben Shapiro went on to say, hey, they showed a video of the latest cabinet meeting. I don't know if they've had very many of them because he seems to be on a perpetual vacation. But they showed a cabinet meeting. And who's leading the meeting? Not Joe Biden, but Jill Biden. Well, Shapiro says, well, when did we ever elect Jill Biden? Answer, never. Nobody voted for her. She's the wife of Joe Biden. She's leading the meetings because he's not able to lead the meetings. And it's very obvious. It's elder abuse, in my opinion. My wife Debbie says that all the time. It's just shameful what Jill is allowing to happen. Joe Biden had no business running for president, but they didn't have a candidate. you know, you got to get in the minds of the brain trust of the Democrat Party. Just like, I mean, everybody has that. The Republicans have that. You know, a church has leaders that come together that talk through things, just like your football team, your basketball team. The coaches get together and talk about things. They're watching film and they're saying, what are we good at? What are we bad at? How do we shore up this weakness and that weakness? Everybody has that. You know, we have that term inside baseball. Well, inside baseball for the Democrat Party in 2020 was, well, who's going to be our candidate? And so let's get Joe, because everybody kind of perceives him as sweet Uncle Joe. Well, Joe's in no position to run for president. And as we know, he didn't run for president. He stayed in his basement. He didn't have to give speeches much. And he has trouble reading the teleprompter. And, you know, as Donald Trump said, and it was maybe mean, but it was true, he doesn't know where he is. And he surely comes across like he doesn't know where he is. Well, can you be the president and not know where you are? Can you be the president and not be able to know what's going on around you, to not be sharp? Well, the answer is no. So who's running the country? Jill Biden? I personally think Barack Obama is making all the decisions and telling the speechwriters, this is what you write, and hey, Joe, you just get out there and read it. And even if you read it poorly, you know, you take all the heat for it. Barack Obama doesn't like America the way it was originally founded, the way it was set up. He just doesn't. I still remember when Michelle Obama said, you know, for the first time in my life, when Barack was elected president, for the first time in my life, I can be proud of America. Well, good grief. That's the first time in your life? They fundamentally wanted to change America. He didn't like and still doesn't like America. And we're seeing America being fundamentally changed. It's not a good thing. It's a terrible thing. And it's terrible for the masses. Now, leadership matters. We saw in the Carter administration, Jimmy Carter was a good-hearted person. But he was a terrible leader. Just because you're a good-hearted person doesn't mean you're a good leader. Ronald Reagan was a good leader. We saw such a contrast between Carter's leadership, which was disastrous because it was weak, and Reagan's leadership, which was successful because it was strong. Now, with Donald Trump, love him or hate him, he's not a weak leader. He sees what needs to be done, and he does it. He's willing to do things that are unpopular if he thinks they're right. I'm going to move the embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. We had a lot of presidents that said they were going to do that and never did it. He actually did it. And they, you know, oh, John Kerry, this is going to bring about a war as if you do that. Well, it didn't. He felt that was the right thing to do, and he did it. I mean, we all know that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. It's always been, you know, from the time of David, it's always been the capital of Israel. And so Reagan was strong. And here's the other thing about a leader. You have to know the difference between good and evil. You have to know what is broken and seriously broken, especially if you're talking about being the president. You have to see what's seriously broken and say, what can we do to change this? What can we do to fix this? Now, let's shrink it down a little bit. For a pastor, goes to a church. I came to First Baptist Church in 2003. Well, I had a great church experience at Champion Forest Baptist Church in Houston, Texas, and great training from my pastor, Dr. Damon Shook, who's in heaven now. And so I saw how a church ran, a large church. Champion Forest was a large church, 12,000 members. I saw how that ran. I saw what he did that was good. I saw how he avoided pitfalls. And so I came to First Baptist. And, you know, I started seeing things. It's like, I'm a very black and white kind of person. I was like, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. This is good, that's bad, this is good, that's bad. And where do we need to shore things up? And so I started doing that. And lo and behold, I wasn't here very long, before people started getting mad. And there was a petition out for my, if not my outright removal, definitely my a curtailing of my leadership after about 5 months. And a petition, hey, you know, this guy is you know, he's off the rails, and we need to rein him in. And you know, I'm standing up against him. We also hear from God. We don't need to hear from him. It reminded me of the rebellion of Korah that's spoken of in the book of Numbers. We're all God's people. We all hear from God. We've gone far enough, Moses. We're not going to follow you anymore. How did God deal with that? God weighed in on that one, and the ground opened up and swallowed up the rebels. Well, it was a similar kind of thing, and I preached a sermon, you know, I didn't know if I was going to survive this or not. I preached a sermon that next Sunday, and I called it When God Moves Your Cheese, and I talked about, yeah, that was a business book, when, you know, forget what it was called, when somebody moves your cheese. Anyway, who moved my cheese? That was the business book. It was about change, and if you don't change, you die. And so I called it When God Moves Your Cheese, and I talked about change. And I said, listen, and I ended the sermon this way. I said, listen. I said, God's called me here, and I'm going to be here as long as he wants me to be here. But God didn't bring me here to this church so that we would wander around in the wilderness for the next 40 years. And he didn't bring me here so that we would go back to Egypt. I said, we need to go forward into the promised land and be the church God's called us to be. And there was just a move of God in that service back in June of 2003, where people just stood to their feet and began to clap. They wanted to go forward. And that bad spirit from those who are wanting to hold things back, wanting to be in control, that was broken that day. And it was powerful and it was exciting. But here's the thing. I was willing to get fired. And Debbie, my beautiful wife, she wrote me a card that morning, and she said, preach with all your heart. God's commanded you. You're the leader for this church. And she said, if something happens and you get fired, that's okay. She said, we still have boxes. We haven't unloaded everything. We still have the boxes. We can pack up everything, and God has another place for us to go. And so when you don't have the fear of man in your heart, then it's very hard for people to control you, because you're not beholden to them. Doesn't mean you're rude to them, but they tell you something to do. Hey, if you don't do this, for a lot of pastors, you don't do this, I'm going to withhold my tithe. I'm going to come up against you. Okay, fine, do it. Come up against me. Withhold your tithe. I'm not trusting in you and your tithe and your support. I'm trusting in God, and I'm following God. I don't know about you, but I'm following God. And see, that's the kind of strength that is needed in leadership, that you do what's right. Now, you can't go after everything all at one time. You can't fix everything at once. So you have to pick your battles prayerfully and wisely pick, okay, what does God want me to fix here? Fix the things that you can fix. There are bigger problems that take a long time to fix. And so you have to just chip away, chip away, chip away. You know, some pastors, they try and make too many changes too fast. And that was kind of the running joke I had with some of the deacons. I said, here's the issue at First Baptist Texarkana. How much surgery can the church endure before Jeff dies? You know, and I came real close to too much surgery, fixing too many things at once before the church just says, we're not doing this anymore. You're gone. And so you have to know where that line is. Leadership matters. It matters in a church. It matters in a corporation. It matters on a football team, basketball team, soccer team, baseball team. And it definitely matters in government. Don't vote for someone who's a poor leader. Don't vote for someone who has no track record of leadership. Now, as I said, Donald Trump, you may hate the guy's guts, but you can't deny the fact that he has done things. He has led businesses, organizations. He's built and developed projects. He's been on the front lines of those things, and those things have been successful. You know, these lifetime politicians, they talk and talk and talk and talk, and they never accomplish anything. They're good at running for office. They're not good at leading the country, and they don't so often, with so many of them, they don't think about what is good for the masses. They always just have these little sliver constituencies. Oh, I've promised them this, I've promised them that. You know, Biden is terrible about this. I want to support. I'm there for the transgenders. So we're going to be, I'm all in for the LGBTQIA+ crowd. Well, what about the rest of us? As Tucker Carlson said, you know, our leadership treats us so poorly, and we, the masses who are dutiful, who are paying our taxes, who are, parenting our children and being good citizens in our communities, we're treated as if we're the enemy. And we're put on watch lists, so to speak. And, we complain at school board meetings that they have these books in our elementary school libraries that have no business being in there. And anybody with a modicum of sense would say, that's right. What is that book doing in here? Who approved of that? And we do need to stand up. We're not the troublemakers. You know, that's what Ahab said to Elijah. That you are the troubler of Israel. He said, I haven't troubled Israel, but you and your house have troubled Israel. Listen, God blesses us when we're on blessing ground, when we do what he says. When you're not on blessing ground, you miss out on the blessings. And God wants to bless. He's a God who is good all the time. He wants to bless. He doesn't want to judge. He will judge, but that's not what he wants. As he says in Ezekiel 18:32, do I have any pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord? Obviously, no. Therefore, repent and live. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about leadership. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, I would love to talk to you. So give me a call and let's talk. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop. So we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about the subject of leadership. Leadership matters. As John Maxwell so rightly stated years and years ago, everything rises and falls on leadership. Now, we've had leadership from the left. elected politicians on the left, and they have been in the mainstream media pumping out the same lie: Donald Trump, a threat to democracy, Donald Trump will destroy America, Donald Trump is Adolf Hitler, the, you know, reincarnation of Adolf Hitler. They haven't said it quite like that, but they compare him to Hitler all the time. He's a Nazi, he's a terrible, horrible person. Well, Tulsi Gabbard posted this on X just recently. She said, a new Rasmussen poll reveals the disturbing results of the decade-long dehumanization campaign against Trump by the Democratic Party and the propaganda media. Here's the results of the poll. 28% of Democrats are quietly rooting for Trump's assassination. This is a symptom of the moral rot and bankruptcy of the party. That is just unbelievable. Over 25%, 28% according to that poll, want Trump to be assassinated. You know, if you believe the lie that Trump is, he's Hitler reincarnated, so to speak, then you'd say, well, yeah, I guess we need to get rid of him because that would be the right thing to do. He's going to destroy our country. Elon Musk posted the other day on X a clip from Robert De Niro, the actor who hates Trump, wants to punch him in the face, his own words. And he was talking about, we cannot let Trump get in the White House. We cannot elect him as president. He will destroy America. He's a threat to democracy. Everything's at stake. Blah, 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 blah. And Elon Musk just posted above that clip, and he said, well, he was president. Something to that effect. I'm going off memory here. He was president. We know what he will do when he, if elected, because he was elected just 4 years ago. He was the president. And so this idea that, you know, that's being promoted by the mainstream media and by the Democrat Party, that Trump is terrible, Trump is horrible, Trump will ruin the country, Trump will never see another free and fair election. It's Trump that wants a free and fair election. I was talking to a friend of mine just yesterday who was in politics in Arkansas, and I said, you know, here's the thing. Everybody ought to be for a free and fair election. And get rid of computerized voting systems. Go with a paper ballot, and everybody writes on the paper ballot and makes their voices heard on a paper ballot. You turn that in, and you count the paper ballot. That cannot be manipulated through some hacker. And then you can easily do an audit on those. Okay, was this person a registered voter? Yes. How did they vote? We have the paperwork. But the Democrats don't want that. You ask yourself, why? Why would you not want that? Why do you not want voter ID? Why do you not want a driver's license or some form of identification to prove that you are that person? Well, anybody that doesn't want that, they don't want that for one reason. Because they want to cheat. Everybody should be for that. And those who have tried to say, well, that's racist to ask for a driver's license or proof of identification, that's racist because, a black person can't get a driver's license. They don't know how to use the computer. We played that clip just last week. I mean, talk about racist. That is totally racist. This guy went to Harlem and he interviewed the people and they said, well, of course I have a driver's license. Of course I have ID. Of course I know how to get on the internet. Of course I have a phone. I mean, they were taken aback and a little bit insulted by even they were asked the question. And so we need to make sure that this election is safe and secure, and we need to make sure anytime you hear from the mainstream media, anytime you hear from the left, anytime you hear threat to democracy, Hitler, all those things, you just need to know it's what the left is saying about conservatives, and namely about Trump. They, whatever they're accusing him of doing or will do. It's what they're doing right now. That's just the way it is. Listen, as we're talking about strong leadership, I can't help but think of Don Wildman, the founder of American Family Association, American Family Radio, and the new movie that's coming out, the documentary Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency. And you can go to the website culturewarrior.movie, culturewarrior.movie. And this documentary explores the founding of the American Family Association, many of the cultural and spiritual battles that have defined America's national life over the last 50 years, from primetime television to secular humanism, pornography, and the homosexual agenda. Don Wildman sought to confront the forces of darkness and awaken the church to call her to be salt and light. Why was Don Wildman such an effective leader? Because he knew the difference. He could discern good and evil. He knew right from wrong, and he was willing to stand up and be bold. He was strong and courageous. People flock to courage. They are encouraged themselves when they see a person who is bold, who stands up for the truth, who's willing to take shots from the left for standing up for what is right. And so what a great documentary. I encourage you, when it comes out on November 11th, online streaming and DVD, public release November 11th, to watch that. You will be blessed by that. What a great, great man, Don Wildman, the founder of American Family Association, American Family Radio. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we'd love to hear from you. And we have Philip on the line from South Carolina. Philip, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff. You doing all right today?
Doing well. How are you, Philip?
Doing well. I was just wanting to make a comment. I heard about you talking about leadership and Trump and who we should vote for. And my contention is, as a group, as the church, as a whole, maybe we should stop voting for people that have already been in office, but vote for people that haven't been. And if we chose to do that route, vote the incumbents out, within 2 years, we'll have totally changed Congress to where maybe we're putting people in every 2 years that aren't looking to be a, you know, lifelong, you know, member of Congress, which they choose not to really do a lot of things for our America.
Right.
But changing that out, getting new people in there and letting them to where they won't stay, maybe they'll start making more choices for us as a country,
right,
which will better us, better our economy, and better the direction we need to go.
Yeah, I understand, and I can agree with you up to a point. You know, you have to have... Here's the thing. You have to have good, solid people running for these positions, and because just voting one person out because the new guy wants to come in and he's unproven, sometimes that can work out well, or sometimes that could be a disaster. So I think that I do, like in the case of Trump, or a person that, you know, if they have a track record of, and governors make good presidents if they were a good governor, because they had to lead, they had to do budgets and things like that and actually govern. Senators don't. They don't really lead anything. You know, they're part of a big group, and but a governor is not. And so I think that's a good training ground and a good way to test how does this person do leading. In my opinion, Ron DeSantis would have been the best candidate for us as a country, because you look at how he leads Florida. He does it well, and he is strong, and he is courageous, and he knows the difference between right and wrong. He stands up for what is right, and he may not be a great campaigner. And, you know, campaigning is not... That's a whole different skill set than actually doing the job. And so sometimes we get enamored with how this person, oh, I love the way he talks, and he's just so good on his feet, and this and that. But it's like, yeah, well, how well does he do the job? And so I've seen a lot of very successful businessmen over the years who are not great speakers, but they are strong leaders and they do a good job. I think Trump is one of those guys. I don't think Trump is a great speaker by any stretch of the imagination, but he has proven himself to be a capable leader, and he does seem to care for the masses and makes policies that help the masses. So, yeah, I appreciate where you come from, Phil. I don't like the fact these lifetime politicians, you know, Joe Biden was in politics for 50 years or something like that. It's just insane. And I don't think the founding fathers ever thought that somebody, you know, would do this for a lifetime. It's supposed to be a public service position, not something where you feather your own nest and you just spend all your time running and rerunning and keeping your power and not doing your job. We hire people and elect people so that they would actually do the job, not that they would spend all their time campaigning and trying to raise money. So I appreciate that comment, Philip. God bless you, brother. Thanks for calling in. We have Greg on the line from Montana. Greg, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, thank you, Pastor Jeff.
Yes, sir.
Just calling about talking to somebody the other day about abortion in Montana here. We're trying to, the left is trying to get the abortion amendment on the ballot, so it'll be a constitutional amendment. And we were discussing that, and I said, well, you know, you ought to talk to people about abortion and tell them how wrong it is. And this young lady comes back at me and, oh, we're not supposed to judge. Our pastor says we're not supposed to judge. And I was just so blown back that I really couldn't come back with a good rebuttal. And I know the Bible says, you know, judge not, but it also says judge righteous judgment. And when we see something wrong, we should talk to our brother about it. So what's a good comeback?
Yeah, so great question, Greg. So when people say that we're not supposed to judge, it's like, well, I'm not judging. I'm not the judge. But let me tell you what the judge has said about that. He says that that is murder. He says that, you know, the sixth commandment, you shall not murder. When does life begin? You know, the abortionists don't want to say when life begins, but every honest scientist and medical doctor will say, well, if it doesn't begin at conception, when does it begin? At the second month, fourth month, sixth month, ninth month? Obviously, it begins at conception. That's when the life is conceived and the baby begins to grow in his mother's womb. And so I always tell people this, you know, if we're driving in a car and the speed limit is 55 miles an hour and you're going 90 miles an hour, and I tell you, hey, you're speeding, you're liable to get a ticket. You're liable to hurt somebody going this fast. And they turn around and look at me and said, well, don't judge me. You're not supposed to judge. You're saying, well, I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you this is what the law states, and this is what you're doing. And if you keep doing that, it's not going to end well for you. And so that's what we need to do. Keep referring people to what the judge has said. We're not the judge, but we know what the judge has said about this. And the judge, you know, our job is to warn people. You know, we're the watchman on the wall, as the Lord said to Ezekiel. And you are called to warn people. When the enemy's coming, you warn them. You sound the alarm. And if you don't warn them, the scripture says their blood is going to be on your hands. If you warn them and they blow it off, then it's on them. But our job is to warn them and to tell them, hey, thus says the Lord, this is sinful. And real love tells people the truth. It doesn't tell people what they want to hear. It tells people what they need to hear, what the judge has said. And so that's what I use, Greg. I hope that's helpful to you. And let me try and get another call before the end. We have Sammy on the line from Texas. Sammy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
At the beginning of World War II, there was a man in Norway that betrayed his country to Hitler and the Nazis. Uh-huh. And his name was Quisling, and I'm afraid that we've got some Quislings in the current administration that are doing that to our country.
Yes.
If you could write this the name of this movie down, The Edge of Darkness, 1943 version.
It
shows a pastor who was on the fence, but he makes the right call.
Yes. Okay, The Edge of Darkness. Very good, Sammy. Well, thank you for calling in. I'm sorry, Lucy and Claire, that we didn't get to you, but you can always reach me at PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org or connect on X, formerly Twitter, X, at JeffSchreve, at Jeff Shreve. Love to connect with you. Well, thank you for listening to today's program, Real Truth for Today. It's a joy for me, Pastor Jeff Shreve, to be able to share with you every morning. I look forward to tomorrow. We're going to have Jenna Ellis on the program talking about what's going on in Florida. So go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.